Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAM. If you will invest time to hear God's Word today, it could be a life-changing event that you will never, never, never regret. Amen. If you're not a Christian, you could come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are a Christian, you could be encouraged in your walk with the Lord and stand strong with those who name the name of Jesus in these last closing days. I firmly believe that we are living not in the last days anymore. I believe we are living in the last of the last days. And someday we will try to bring a message that will help define that particular statement, living in the last of the last days. I believe if you really don't need a degree in theology or a particular knowledge, deep knowledge of prophecy, to pick up your Bible and to look around you at the events that are coming upon the earth and the things that are happening, the things that we're seeing daily on our televisions and in our news periodicals, you just can't avoid the stark reality that we are living in such prophetically significant times. These are the last of the last days. I believe that is absolutely biblically irrefutable. And I believe that we should be more concerned than we've ever been concerned about the great harvest that God has called us to, the harvest fields. There's so many people, even in America, that do not know Christ as their personal Savior, are not ready for this time that is coming, of the Lord's return and the judgments that are going to be coming. People really don't like to hear that kind of message. But folks, I want to say something very, very clearly, that the Bible is a book that deals with where we are going to spend eternity. And it's important that we hear clearly the words of Jesus concerning this most important of all of the teachings of Scripture are those that concern where we go when we die, because we're all going to die, but that's not the end. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, when you die, it doesn't cancel out everything. We do not go into oblivion. We end up somewhere. God wants you to end up in His heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not willing that any perish, the Bible said, but that all have eternal life. So please stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and let's move into those areas that you may not hear a whole lot about today, but they are clearly defined and delineated in Scripture. Before we go to the Word of God today, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I want to invite you to invite others. I want to challenge you, actually, to invite other people to listen into this broadcast. I feel the love of God when I minister for Let's Talk About Jesus. I feel Him loving through me. And I know that someone is hearing this broadcast that God wants to embrace with His great love. One of the first scriptures I ever learned, I learned when I was in elementary school, not in Sunday school. That's an incredible difference than today. But I learned the scripture in elementary school, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And I became one of those whosoever's. And I am so glad that I know Christ is my Savior. And if I wasn't a preacher of the gospel, called, appointed, and anointed to preach, I would be telling people about Jesus, and I would be excited about Him. This is not something we kind of turn on for the radio and turn off when it's over. I live in this reality daily. The Lord has been so good to me and my family, and we enjoy sharing Jesus on the radio, from the pulpit, anywhere in that I can have an opportunity to share my testimony. I love to give it. Praise God. God has been so wonderful. He is so wonderful. And it's important that we understand what is at stake when we are confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not just about this old temporal world that is passing away. This is about where we spend eternity. And that's why this book has been attacked so many times down through the years, the decades, the centuries. This is the book that challenges us to come to know Jesus and escape the judgment to come. And so we want to read the words of Jesus Christ today from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And we're going to talk about walking up the King's highway. Hallelujah. There used to be a song years ago, a camp meeting song that said, I am on a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Well, I've been walking that narrow path for a long time now. And this is a good road to be on. I'm not saying it doesn't get steep. I'm not saying it isn't bumpy sometimes. I've been praying for years for heavy-duty shock absorbers. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, this is the best life that there possibly could be, having Christ with us here. And the promise of eternal life, and the promise that we will not have to fear the judgment to come, is the greatest promise in all of the Bible. Praise God. God, the scripture actually said in 1 Thessalonians that God has not appointed us as believers to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's so good to be saved today. There's nothing better in all of the Word of God than just to be able to say, by the authority of the Word of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, that we have come to know the Lord is our Savior, and we don't have to fear the judgment to come. But that doesn't change the fact that judgment is coming. The Bible is very clear. So listen to the words of Jesus, the most important words that you will ever hear are words along this line from the Word of God. Listen to this. It has to do with your and my eternal destiny. Listen to what Jesus said in verse Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Now, I'm concerned today about the word many. God, who knows everyone and everything, He's omniscient. He knows how many people are going to be saved. He knows how many people are going to be lost. He looks down through time, and He has the ability to see things before it actually takes place. And He says that many are going to end up in destruction, because many are going to follow the broad way. So He says, make your calling, literally an election, sure. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for there's a wide gate and a broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in there. You know, before we read further, He used that term many again, looking down through time. And He said, many will say unto me on that day when we have to stand before Him, who knows all things, and He knows whether we're truly Christian or whether we've been playing church. And there will be people who claim Him as their Lord, who have never really met Him as their Savior. And many, He said, will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name, and cast out devils in your name? And He will say, depart from me, me, I never knew you, you that work iniquity. See, you're not saved by works. But when you do get saved, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Doesn't mean that we don't sin. The Bible also said, if we say we have no sin, we lie. And not the truth, but if we confess our sin, it's faithful and just to forgive it, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What the Bible is saying, though, is that when you claim to know Christ as your Savior, and you can live as if He has no influence at all in your life, there is a serious issue and a serious question that must be faced, and that is whether or not you've truly met Him as your Lord and Savior. It's very clear that we're not saved by works, but it's equally clear that when you get saved, we are created unto good works. Amen. And I struggle with temptation. I struggle with faults and failures, and I find myself in need of going to God and asking forgiveness. But one thing I do not struggle with as a Christian, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I want, I desire, I need His Lordship in my life. I want Christ to master me. I don't serve Satan any longer. He is not my master. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord, not just theologically, amen, and universally and spiritually. Jesus is Lord of my life, and He is the Lord of the church, the true church. Praise God. Amen. Listen to what He said. He said, because straight is the gate, and narrow the way in verse 14, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. One translator paraphrases these two verses this way. If you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose the easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. We're living in a day, and I believe I can make this statement unequivocally, of easy believism and cheap grace. It's vitally important that we listen carefully to the words of Jesus. We must clearly understand that we are not at a crossroad. We are already on a road, one of only two. The question that the Scripture challenges us with today is, which road are we traveling, and where will it lead us? At the moment of death, we'll arrive eternally at one of only two destinations. And folks, we need, if this message can bring you to a crossroad, no matter what road you're on, if you're on the wrong road, you can come to a crossroad today. But I want you to know you're not standing at a crossroad. None of us are. We're on a road. And it's either the King's highway or it's the devil's highway. But we're on a road today. Without any doubt, there's no way to get around this statement of Jesus Christ. One scholar comments, enter ye in at the straight gate. He said, the leading thought of the whole discourse is the kingdom of heaven and its conditions. Hence, when the Lord says, enter ye in, He means into a kingdom of heaven. Nearly every town in Palestine is surrounded by walls and is entered by gates. The principal ones are wide, with double doors, closed with locks and fastened with iron bars. The straight gates are in retired corners, and they are narrow and only open to those who knock. For straight is the gate, the Bible said. What is it, Augustine asked, that makes this gate so straight to us? It is it is not that it's straight or narrow in itself, but that we want to take in our pride, our self-will, our darling sins, as he put it. And so there's few there be that find it. It has been to be sought. And the reason that men do not find it is because not because it is hard to find, but because they prefer to walk in the broad way. Matthew Henry comments this way. He said, there are but two ways, right and wrong, good and evil, the way to heaven and the way to hell. One or the other of these we are all walking. There is no middle place hereafter, no middle way now. All the children of men are saints or sinners, godly or ungodly. I might add that we are either today categorized as saved or lost, children of the light or children of the darkness. In 1979, the rock group AC/DC wrote a hit song called Highway to Hell. I want to read a lyric from it today. Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, take everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time, my friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel, going to spin it, nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues, playing in a rock band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Don't stop me. And I'm going down, all the way down. I'm on the highway to hell. I'm going to tell you something today. When I read lyrics like that, if someone really believed that they were on that broad way that leads to this horrible place described in the Bible, it makes me shudder to think anyone could grasp the reality. See, I do not believe that anyone can write lyrics like this and grasp the reality. And I don't really expect some of the hard rockers to grasp it. But you know who should be grasping that reality today? As Christians, we should be grasping that. As ministers of the gospel and Sunday school teachers, we need to be grasping this reality that people are saved or lost. And we are on a highway that leads to heaven, or we are on a highway that leads to hell. One is narrow, Christ said, and one is broad, and one is easy to walk upon, and the other requires an absolute commitment. And we've got a kind of a soft-pedaled gospel that's been preached today that doesn't even read on Sunday morning what I just read to you from the Word of God. But people's souls depend on which highway we're on. We dare not leave out scriptures just because they are going to upset someone. I like what one guy said one time, one preacher. He said it'd be better that the preacher rock the boat than the devil wreck the boat. According to postings on the internet, the sound engineer for this group that I just read the lyrics of this song from AC/DC, changed roads. He came to know Christ as his personal Savior and is no longer on the highway to hell. Hallelujah. Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction. There is a broad way. The word broad means spacious. Jesus said there is a spacious road upon which a person can walk. What does he mean by this broad road? The idea that Jesus is trying to convey is that the broad way is wide open. In other words, anything goes on the broad way. You can do anything you like. You can carry all the baggage of your sins. You can live like you want to live. You can call all the shots and make all the rules. You can be king of the road on the broad way. When you walk the broad way, you can be your own person. You don't have to answer to anyone. You can live life to the fullest, go where you will, do what you will, and be what you will. It is your life. You call the shots. It's the easy way to live, because there is no one to please but yourself. That's what the broad way is all about. You know what the Bible said? And there may be people saying, yeah, man, that's exactly how I want to live my life. Nobody tells me what to do. Amen. But listen to me, friend. I want you to listen to me very carefully. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. And the reason this message is so important today, these words of Christ that we rarely ever hear anymore because they've been relegated to the fire and brimstone genre. They've been delegated to those preachers that are considered fire and brimstone preachers. Hey, friend, I want you to know something today. No preacher coined the phrase fire and brimstone. This is Jesus' description of what it's like to be lost and in the place where the lost have to spend eternity. And folks, the fact that we cannot or will not preach what Jesus Christ taught in our generation because so many people would reject it, you know, is absolutely mind-boggling to me. I don't want to go to a doctor that finds cancer in my body, and because he doesn't want to upset me, fails to tell me about it, hides the fact of it, doesn't tell me how serious my situation is and how important it is that I get this addressed. I tell you something right now. I want to hear the truth on Sunday morning. I never have wanted to hear a soft-pedaled, soothed-over, salved-over gospel that doesn't really challenge my life. I want to know where I'm going when I die, to put it in plain language. And I'm telling you, I'm glad, amen, that my soul has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've accepted His sacrifice, and I know that I have eternal life today because I know the blood of Jesus has been applied. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a joyous thing. I'm not trying to scare anybody into heaven, but I'm telling you something right now. This is a scary thing to be on the highway to hell. And the only way to get that fear resolved is to come to know Jesus as your Savior. He said He would forgive every sin we've ever committed if we would just bow before Him, get rid of our pride and self-will, and repent. Oh, what a message that God offers us today. If you're on the wrong road, I'm telling you something, you can change roads today. You don't have to stay on the highway to hell. You can walk up the King's highway. There's a sinister side to the dark way that open-minded pleasure seekers fail to mention to those who travel this road. Jesus talked of a narrow way entered by a straight gate. There is a narrow way. While the broad way is wide open and easy, the other way a person can live is called narrow. This word actually referred to a grape press. It has the idea of being constricted. It can also carry the idea of being distressed and difficult. You see, the narrow way is exactly the opposite of the broad way. On the narrow way, you can't take all your sins with you. If you try, you'll find out there isn't enough room for you and them. When you walk the narrow way, you must choose to give up your rights. You can no longer do as you please, but you must do those things that please the Lord. You cannot make the rules anymore, but you are expected to keep God's rules. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want to know freedom, hey, get on this King's highway. True freedom doesn't come by pursuing sin. Sin enslaves. The way of the transgressor, my Bible tells me, is hard. And I've lived 61 years, and I can tell you, I've seen people choose that way that seems right, and I've seen the awful destruction. It doesn't come immediately all the time. Sometimes it takes years, but it comes. And if it doesn't come in this life, friend, be assured, it's going to come in the life to come. God loves people today that are on the wrong highway. He cares about what happens to you. He knows where you're headed. He knows where the road that you're on leads. And He wants you to know about it. As uncomfortable as it is to talk about things, we've got to talk about things like this. I don't know why in the Church of Jesus Christ we ever quit talking about what the bottom line is concerning the gospel. And the bottom line is, friend, where you and I are going to spend eternity. there is no message more important than that message to the lost and dying world that we live in. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the peace of being able to know that if I die today, if I pass away before the sun rises tomorrow, that my soul would go into the presence of the one who redeemed me. Paul put it this way, absent from the body is not to wait and see, or to be weighed in the balances, or to wait for some final judgment if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from sin. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So before we ever talk about heaven or as our destiny and our destination, amen, absent from the body is to be met and taken into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, I feel that there may be people listening to this broadcast that have never been confronted with this very scripture today. But you need to be confronted by it. It's because God loves you that Jesus talks about these very uncomfortable things. Amen. God wants you to be His child. He wants you to be saved. He gave His Son so that you could be saved. And He raised up ministers like me and thousands of others to go forth and to bring the good news that you don't have to be lost and you don't have to go to a place of judgment, but you can go to a place called heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. No better place in all of the universe. And folks, today I urge you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to get off the broad way and join the ranks of those who are pressing on this narrow way, with all the opposition that the world gives us and the flesh that fights us day in and day out, and the adversary, the devil who comes against us. This is still the greatest road to ever be on. On this road is Jesus Christ to help us. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way. We have that assurance on this road that Christ is with us. His presence is with us. His promise to never leave us is with us. We don't have to walk this thing by ourselves and our strength. All we have to do is lean heavily on the one that has paved the way to victory. You know what Jesus said about this highway and those on it? In this world, those walking that narrow way, in this world, He says to us, you're going to have tribulation. The word is thelpsis, and it means pressure. It means anguish. The word narrow actually is phlebo in the Greek, and it means to press as grapes, to press hard upon, a compressed way, a narrow, straitened, contracted way. The metaphor is to trouble, afflict, or distress in this world. You that have chosen the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light over the kingdom of darkness, you're going to walk a narrow way. But don't you be afraid. Don't you be dismayed. Because I will walk it with you every step of the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you don't know Jesus today, I want to encourage you to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Get off that highway to hell and get on the King's highway today, and let's walk it together, brother and sister. If you're a Christian today and you've found the way hard and you've become discouraged, and like Lot's wife, you may even be looking back, I want to tell you, if you'll just stay on this road, just stay on this road. Just cry out to God for His help and His strength. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. In this world, He said, you'll have tribulation on this narrow way. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. One translation said, I've robbed it of power to harm you. Folks, arm in arm with Jesus, we're going to walk this steep road, this narrow road, and we're going to end up in God's heaven for eternity. And you'll be so glad you didn't look back, and you'll be so glad you didn't turn back. Friend, I encourage you today, to stay focused, especially in these last days. And I want you to come back next week. Let's go back into God's holy word and let's talk about Jesus.